Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, my friend, this is Alex Pardo, and I got a special treat for you today. So I'm recording this introduction a little different than what I've done in previous shows because this is the 50th podcast episode of the Flip Empire Show, and it's kind of a mini milestone. I want to celebrate it here, and I want to give you a special treat, like I mentioned at the top here. And I think I read a stat somewhere that most podcasts that start die after like the fifth or the sixth episode, you know? And so when I kind of set out on this journey to create and launch a podcast, I had a very specific goal in mind, and I had a couple different things I wanted to accomplish. And because of you, you know, the listener, I've been able to do this, and it's crazy to me how we're 50 episodes in, and it gives me more encouragement and motivation to keep going. You know, and I've gotten just a tremendous amount of feedback, most of it positive, and I want to continue to use that as fuel to deliver content that can help you in your business. And one of my personal goals with this was to build an audience of like-minded people, build a community here that I could share information that I've gathered and learned throughout the years from experience, from coaches and mentors that I've worked with, and give back, you know, in a podcast setting here. It's a great channel to deliver information, build an audience, and also, you know, to either personally work with one-on-one coaching clients or group, which I'll mention here, you know, at some point in this, in the introduction or the outro of this podcast. But the treat that I have for you here to celebrate kind of the 50th episode of the Flip Empire Show is I have a private coaching sessions with personal clients, and very rarely have I ever released the content or the recordings of those calls. These are our personal one-on-one and or group clients that pay a lot of money to have me personally coach, mentor them in this business. And so just recently I took on a new client by the name of Jason. And just to give you a little bit of context here, Jason is somebody who has been wanting to get his business off the ground for a long time. He spent thousands of dollars on seminars, courses, books, but just hasn't been able to get any traction in his business. So maybe you're listening and you can relate. And if that's the case, then this is really going to be eye-popping for you. And I know you're going to really enjoy this show. It's not your typical expert interview where I bring somebody on and we do a deep dive on a couple different areas here. This is a behind the scenes. I'm inviting you to be kind of a fly on the wall and listen to a coaching call between Jason and I. This is our second call that we're doing, and I share a lot of valuable information here. So if you're looking to get your business off the ground, have a transformation in your real estate business, or even if you've been doing this for a while and now you're looking to scale up, maybe you're looking to build a team or, you know, just kind of take things to another level. You know, I want to invite you to kind of be a fly on the wall, listen to this call, and you may even realize that there's certain gaps that you have in your business that you weren't even aware of. But I want to caution you. So as you listen to the call, you know, keep an open mind and an open ear for something that might click or resonate with you. It may be something you say to yourself, you know what, I've already heard this, I already know this. And that's actually when I want you to pay a lot closer attention, because, you know, I've been doing this since 2005. And what I found throughout the years is that, you know, being a successful real estate investor, it's kind of like cooking. Right. And so I want to share just a very brief story here with you here. I just celebrated my third year wedding anniversary with my wife. And I had this like elaborate mastermind planned. I'm not much, you know, I don't cook much. I know how to cook, but I wouldn't, you know, you're not going to see me like on one of these MasterChef type shows or Man versus Child or one. You're not going to see me on there. That's not me. Right. Although I know how to cook, I don't do it often. And so, you know, my wife, every now and then she'll drop a comment and she'll let me know that, you know, hey, why don't you make something this time around? And so I've kind of made a mental note, and I had this elaborate game plan to just have her come home. And I have this, like, just this badass spread, right? Like this, I've cooked this creative dish, and I started looking at some, you know, I jumped online, I looked at Google recipes, I grabbed a recipe book that my mom had, and I was just looking at some things, and I was gonna go buy all these ingredients. And I said to myself, I know my limitations. I know what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And even though in this particular case, the effort would have gotten me a lot of brownie points, despite how the meal would have ended up tasting. I say this, and by the way, we decided to just go to a really cool restaurant in the Miami downtown area, which was 10 times better than any meal I could have cooked. But I say this to you because, you know, building a business and being a successful real estate investor is kind of like the same thing in the sense that you can have all the ingredients, right, to go out and make just an awesome meal, right? You can create this very cool dish that's just kind of mouth-watering and tasty and just kind of like, you know, an orgasm in your mouth, so to speak. And hopefully you don't mind that analogy. But if you don't understand that the ingredients there's got to be a certain measurement of the ingredients, it's got to be in a certain order, then your meal is going to suck. It's not going to taste very good. And so as you're listening to this coaching call that I have with Jason, if you find yourself saying, I've heard this before, I know this, that's when I really want to challenge you to focus even more and pay attention, have an open mind, because you may have all the ingredients. You may have heard all this information already, but if you don't put it in the right order, in the right measurements, then you're not going to be able to duplicate the success. Okay, so just be very careful when, you know, you're listening to this and thinking that you may have already heard this. You may have not, and that's perfect. I think either way, you're really going to get something out of the coaching call. So just understand, you got to have things in the right order, in the right sequence, and in the right measurements to create the success that you want in your business. So the last thing I'll leave with you here, and I know this is a really long intro, is if you listen all the way into the end, I have a special invitation for you to have a call like this with me. I only do this once or twice a week, where I'll set aside some time to talk to somebody, get to understand and learn more about them, their business, and what they're looking to accomplish. And if it's, you know, if it's something that I think I can help you with, then I'm happy to jump on a call with you. So listen to the call first. I think you're gonna need to understand the context in which this call takes place between Jason and I. Again, it's our second coaching call. And once you listen to it, I have something I want to invite you to do at the end of the coaching call. So check it out. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And, who knows, if I get enough positive feedback about this type of call, maybe I'll do something like this again in the future. So hope you enjoy it. Check it out.
All right, Jason, let's get going here, man. So I want to hear all about the last week. I know we talked a week ago, and so I have an agenda here that I've kind of put together for the call. Just to recap, one of the things I mentioned last week is that going forward, especially as you get more comfortable kind of with the process of us working together, I want you to drive the call. And what I mean by that is I want you to tell me where you feel you need help. I want to know what challenges or hangups you're having so that we can get through them, and so that you know how to handle and get through some of those obstacles that inevitably you're going to face. So having said that, there's definitely things that I always come up with an agenda before each call to kind of keep us on track, because I want to get the most, you know, out of the time we have on the call. And I know that you and I have exchanged some emails already. And so there's definitely things that, you know, I have written down here that I'm going to make sure that we accomplish by the end of the call to keep you moving forward and progressing. Because remember, I mentioned last week is, you know, the goal for the first month is going to be generating leads, sending offers, and following up. And in between, we're going to be setting up some of your systems. So just know that on my end, I have a game plan and I have an agenda of certain things that I want to make sure we discuss and get through to keep you moving towards your goal. The last thing I want to do is have you feel like you're stuck and you don't have the answers you need. So you're always going to have the support, but I want to make sure that you're not getting hung up on little things, because especially at the beginning when you're getting started, it's normal to feel that way. And it's just kind of a natural part of the process, that there's going to be certain things that you don't know how to handle. And so first thing I'd like to do is I want to review the action items from last week's coaching call. And then from there, we can open it up to like Q&A and, you know, identifying any challenges or, you know, anything that was kind of getting in your way that you're not really sure how to get through.
Okay.
How does that sound?
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Awesome. So, yeah, man. So why don't you do this? Before we talk about the action items, give me just an overview of how, like, the actions that you took last week. You know, it's been about 7 days since we talked. So let me know, what are some of the positive things? Like, what are some of the things you did where you felt you were gaining some momentum? And then tell me about some of the challenges that you may have had.
Okay, well, I felt I was getting momentum as far as getting buyers, talking to them, and them being willing to be put on a buyer's list. That was pretty easy.
Okay.
As far as finding sellers, I guess I was kind of confused as when I get in contact with a seller, you know, a real estate agent or a seller, like, I guess I was getting confused. So what do I say? You know, how do I approach them? You know, it's easy to ask someone that, hey, get on my buyer's list. Well, you know, would you like to be on my buyer's list? I'm a new investor. I'm growing my list. You know, would you like to get on it? A lot of guys are very receptive. They're asking me questions, asking me how long I've been in the business, things like that. But as far as talking to sellers, I need to be more comfortable. I didn't really see a script talking to sellers.
Okay.
You know, or a real estate agent. You know, so I didn't know how to approach them. I feel a little overwhelmed. It's like I don't know if I have too much to do, or I'm just not good with organization.
Okay.
I was forgetting to do certain things, like the Craigslist ad. I asked my wife to do it while she was at work once a day. She did it one day, but, you know, after that, she forgot to put it on her list. I forgot to ask her because I didn't want to, you know, wanted to seem like I was, hey, did you do this?
Yeah.
So Craigslist ad, I need to be better with my organization, lining things up, my to-do list for particular days. So I have to figure that out.
Okay.
And then with the software, the FreedomSoft, the PT, the lead generation software.
Right.
You know, I guess not really understanding what I need to do with that yet. I know it's still early. FreedomSoft, I think I had like 30-something leads come in on FreedomSoft, but it's just, I don't know if I, should I call them or am I supposed to set them up a certain way in the system? So it just seems like a lot coming at me at one time, and I'm just like, I don't know
where
to go.
Yeah. Okay. Any other challenges? Because I'm just, so you know, you might hear me typing in the background. I'm jotting down some notes here on our end because I want to make sure that I address each and every one of these points that you're bringing up here. Is there anything else? What were some of the positive things from last week? So you already mentioned the buyers. How many buyers were you able to add to your list?
And I had 42 buyers I have. And one guy, he was really one heavy hitter. He said, once I get in and I have, you know, properties, just send him, my properties, and he'll actually blast them out to his list also. So he, you know, he said, I need to be willing
awesome.
To do that. And I see him a lot on the meetup that I joined. He has a lot of properties going out, so I bet it's just as large. As far as sellers, I only have really a few sellers. I didn't know how to go at it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No problem. We'll spend some time, going through how to speak to sellers and how to speak to agents. So you got 42 buyers in the list. I want to make sure when these buyers, did you get their name, all their contact information, so including their cell phone, their email address, and did you go through that buyer script that I sent you so that you find out exactly what they're looking for?
Yes, I have emails, business names, phone numbers. Some people ask me to email them, and they would send me their criteria.
Okay.
A couple people are kind of like, a little nasty, but, I got as much information as, I needed, as much as I could, price point. Some of them were surprised me being new, with the questions that I was asking them. And some people were asking, one guy asked what CRM software I was using, and I wasn't expecting the question, so I got kind of stumped and I thought a blank. So, he was like, are you really serious about this? I think I'm serious, but I just thought a blank, new to this, bear with me. So, I got as much information as I could.
Okay. And where are you? Did you log them into FreedomSoft?
No, I have them actually. I printed out the script that you got, and I put their information on, on the script. So I printed out 50 copies of the investor buyer scripts that you got. You sent me.
Okay. So you printed out 50 copies, and you were just writing them in by hand?
Yes.
Okay.
So
one of the things I'd like you to do, if you could jot this down on your end, is if you go to, let me see here, so log if you log into your FreedomSoft account, I want you to start logging in all of your cash buyers and keeping them organized inside of FreedomSoft. And the way that you do that is if you go to, when you log in, if you click on the buyers tab at the top, it's right next to the rehabber's GPS. You see where it says buyers?
I need to get logged back in.
Okay.
I'm having problems with my internet connection this morning.
That's fine. You don't need to do it right now, but when you log into FreedomSoft, click on buyers, and then on the left-hand side, you're going to see something that says add buyer. And since you have them written out on a sheet, you can't really import them. If you had them in an Excel file, you could just import them so you don't have to do it by hand. But I want to make sure that you, and eventually, one of the things we're going to talk about is getting you a virtual assistant. And we'll talk about that a little later on in the call. Because, logging data entry and things like that, that's not a good use of your time. But for now, since you don't have somebody helping you, I want to make sure that you treat this as a business and you keep everything organized inside of your CRM. Understand that your CRM, it's kind of like the heart of the business. And what I mean by that is that this is where all the important information is going to go. All of your leads, your seller leads, your buyer leads. You're going to operate everything from within the CRM. This is the tool that's kind of like the glue of the business.
Okay.
Okay. And so it's not, when I first got started, I had, I was writing down buyers and sellers on post-it notes. This was like back in 2005. And it's no way, you have to get organized. And I understand one of the things that is a challenge for you from what you've told me is, you're feeling overwhelmed, and that feeling of being overwhelmed comes from you have so much to do, but it's not streamlined and it's not organized in one central location. This is where the CRM comes into play.
Okay.
Okay. So with the CRM, you're gonna have your to-do list inside the CRM. So whenever you have to do something, don't be overwhelmed by the fact of, oh, I have to talk to 50 sellers or I have to talk to 50 buyers. Chunk it down. And what do I mean by that? So if your goal, I know your goal was to talk to 50 sellers and 50 buyers in a week, right? Break it down. So if you're working 5 days a week, you're in FreedomSoft, a task every morning should be have 10 meaningful conversations with sellers and have 10 meaningful conversations with buyers. And you don't go to sleep that day until you accomplish that. And that's how you stay on track of completing the goal of having 50 conversations with buyers and 50 conversations with sellers. If you just think of the number, man, I got to have 100 conversations, you're going to get overwhelmed. But if you break it down and you say, okay, well, I'm going to have 20 meaningful conversations per day, and I'm not going to go to sleep until, or I'm not going to rest until that's done, that's how you start to eliminate or at least reduce that feeling of being overwhelmed by getting organized. And it starts with making sure that you're tracking and logging everything into FreedomSoft.
Okay.
So let me write this down on my end, because I know I sent you, you got the email I sent you right after our call last week, right? It was a very long email, and I kind of broke down everything I needed you to do.
Yes.
Okay, good. So if you can jot that down on your end, one of the things I need you to do is every time you speak to a buyer, what I like to do, Jason, is when we have a conversation with a buyer, we have our CRM up so that when I'm talking to them, don't get me wrong, you need to be an active listener, but you want to be logging in information into FreedomSoft as you have a conversation with them.
Okay.
If writing it is better for you, that's fine, but just understand that it's a two-step process, because you want to write it down, but then you want to get it from paper into your CRM.
Okay,
so with your first action item, one of the things I need you to do is the 42 cash buyers, I need you to log them into FreedomSoft, into the buyers section. And the ones that emailed you, whenever they email you, answers to your questions, basically their criteria, make sure you go in and you log it into FreedomSoft. So you can do a search by the person's name or by the person's email. It brings up the lead record. And then when you go inside the lead record, FreedomSoft already has pre-populated all of the questions. I mean, you can even modify it and add your own questions. Or they just have a notes box where you can add in information there.
Okay.
So that's the first thing is, you want to try to eliminate that feeling of being overwhelmed. And the way you do that is, and you mentioned it, is just by getting more organized. Okay. So think of a task and then break it down, like chunk it down so that every single day you're doing something that's going to move you in the direction of having accomplished it by the end of the week. Okay. So if your goal is to have, if you have 50 conversations in 2 days, well, that means that you have to have 25 conversations each day in order to accomplish that. So just break it down. And I think if you start approaching it that way, you're going to start to reduce that feeling of being overwhelmed. Okay, but just know that everything needs to go into your CRM. You don't want to operate on paper unless, like, you're on the road or something like that. And even then, one of the things that I've done or I do and I have my team do is if you're on the road, and let's say you see a bandit sign. You call that bandit sign. You have a conversation with the person. You're driving. I mean, you can definitely pull over and put some notes in and email it to yourself so that when you get back, you can log in into FreedomSoft. But if you have an iPhone, which I think you do, is just record a voice memo. Record a voice memo, save it, and email it to yourself so that when you get back home, you can listen to that. Say, hey, I just spoke to Robert. He's a wholesaler, but he also buys properties cash. This is what he's looking for. This is his contact information. That way, nothing slips through the cracks. And when you get back, like, just batch your work. So one or two times a day, you're logging in information. And like I mentioned before, one of the things I want to talk to you about is, when is the right time for you to bring on a virtual assistant? Because right now, you have 20 hours a week that you can devote to this business. We need to try to get time on your side. And when you're working at the barbershop, it would be great if we had somebody on your team working to do some of these things that you right now, you have 20 hours a week. You don't want to be spending 2 hours a day doing data entry. It's just not a good use of your time. So we'll talk about that a little later on, but just know that I really want to talk to you and get you thinking about bringing a virtual assistant on board that maybe you pay $3-4 an hour to. I know you're on a limited budget, but this is a virtual assistant that can be working when you're working in the barbershop and can be generating leads, can be sending offers, can be doing a lot of things that you might not have the time for when you're not working in your real estate business.
Okay.
Okay. So we talked about that getting more organized. So the action item is, you know, you want to log in all 42 cash buyers into FreedomSoft, including all their contact information, all their buying criteria. And then going forward, just always have FreedomSoft open so that when you have a conversation with a buyer, you can just log it in. Okay? So that's the first thing. With regards to, we're going to talk about, you know, I want you to get more comfortable with speaking with sellers and agents. I sent you an email with the script. So I sent you the cash buyer script, and I also sent you the script to speak to a seller. Including, I also sent you some, you know, how to handle objections. A lot of times when you speak to sellers, they typically have, you know, the same objections. So did you get a chance to review all those documents I sent you?
Yeah, I have the objection annihilation method, handling objections, direct statements for motivated sellers.
Okay, fantastic. So you have that. You're going to get more comfortable, Jason, with the more conversations you have. So how many sellers did you speak to in the last week? I know the goal was 50, but how many? And by the way, man, I want you to, I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to push you when you need to be pushed. But I need you to be upfront and honest with me so I can help you, because it makes no sense, you know, for you to, and I'm not saying you would do this, but like, you know, I know the goal was 50. I don't want you to feel bad if you didn't hit it, because that's not going to serve you in any way. If you didn't speak to any sellers, tell me, hey, Alex, I know the goal was 50, but I didn't speak to any. If you spoke to 20, so I need you to just be upfront and honest with me so that sometimes the reason we don't take action is because there's a block. Like something is holding us back. And so there's going to be times on the coaching call where it's not strategy, it's not technique, it's let's figure out where the block is, remove it, so that then you can, you know, move forward, take action, and a lot of the things that you have to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I was so close to training on getting the buyers. I talked to one seller.
Okay, so your main focus was just on the buyers. You didn't talk to any sellers?
No, sir. Well, one seller.
I spoke to one seller.
I got that up. So is this handling objections, direct statements? Is that the actual script that I should be using?
No, it's called the absentee owner script is the name of the PDF.
Oh, that. I got that.
Yeah. It's very self-explanatory. I need you to read through it. And then on the last page, it'll tell you, you know, what are the triggers to listen for, because really what you need to understand, Jason, about speaking to sellers is that forget about the price. Forget about what they're asking for the property. Focus on them and their situation. You have to uncover their why. Why do they want to sell the property? In other words, what's their ultimate motivation? Are they behind on payments and they're going to lose the property in foreclosure? Are they going through a bankruptcy? You know, do they owe back taxes? Is there a lien on the property? Are they getting, like, those are some examples of financial distress. You know, did they lose their job? Those are some of the things. So you have financial distress, and then you have physical distress, meaning the property's messed up. There's fire damage. It's vacant and abandoned. It's got code violations, and the property's completely boarded up. It's got overgrown grass. Just it's in need of repairs. Okay, so you have financial distress. You have physical distress, and then you also have, you know, circumstances, things that happen in life. You know, husband and wife are going through a divorce, and so they want to sell the property. There's an elderly couple that lives in a big house. The kids are out of the house, and they want to downsize. They inherited a property. You know, there's probate situations where somebody, you know, in the family passes away and the property's got to go through probate or death in the family. So there's a lot of different reasons, but just understand that most motivation boils down to financial distress, physical distress, and circumstantial distress. And so your job when you're speaking to these sellers is you want to be an active listener, and you want to try to not try, I don't like to use the word try. You want to uncover their motivation. Your job is to ask them certain questions to figure out ultimately why they want to sell. I don't want you to lean so much on the price. I don't want you to really worry too much about the after repaired value. We're going to get to that. But really, if you get nothing else from what I'm speaking about now, just know that your job is to figure out their motivation. Is this person motivated? Do they need to sell their house? And go through that script that I sent you. And I know, once you start, it's like anything else, man, it's like riding a bike. If you start having these conversations, you're going to get more and more comfortable with the flow of it. And by the way, I know you mentioned, you know, you spoke to some people that were kind of nasty. Brother, it's a part of the game. Like, you got to have thick skin, move on, no worries. You're going to have people that are going to be rude. You're going to have people that are going to go tell you to kick rocks and fly a kite, or a whole lot worse, believe me, because we've had it. No worries, man. It is what it is. It's going to happen. Strap on a smile, you know, move forward. And just know that when you have conversations with buyers and sellers, you know, you want to be transparent. You want to be upfront. If they ask you, say, listen, I'm getting started in this business. I'm very motivated. I'm hungry. I'm here to help and add value. But you got to sound confident. When you ask questions, don't kind of like, oh, you know, so Mr. Seller, do you mind if I ask, what might you own a property? Like, you know, like, don't sound so hesitant. Like, you have to ask these questions with confidence and with authority.
Okay.
So I think, because I was writing down here with some of the challenges that you've had in the last week, not comfortable speaking with sellers and agents. Completely normal and natural because you haven't spoken with any sellers and agents. So you've never done it before. So that's completely normal. You just got to start just how you took action with the buyers, and you already added 42 cash buyers to your list in the last week, which is awesome. Now you need to, in addition to speaking to buyers, you also got to like devote time every day. I want to keep the same goal. I want you to speak to as many sellers as possible. Minimum. I want you to speak to 10 sellers a day. And one of the things I want you to do is not only are you going to start speaking to sellers, I want to get you sending offers, because that's what's going to get you to closing deals and making money. Is lead generation, sending offers, building relationships, and following up. Those four things right there. I don't care if you don't have a penny to your name. If you got time and you got energy, you're focused and you hustle, just by doing those things, you're going to do your deal. You're going to do your first deal, and then we're going to build on that.
Okay,
so one of the things I want you to do, if you can log this in as an action item, is I want you to get your realtor state-approved purchase and sale contract. Actually, you want to know what? Scratch that. That's because I don't want you to get stuck in the weeds of that might be a 5, 10, 15 page document, and I don't want you worried about all this other stuff. I'm going to send you a simple 1-page purchase and sale contract that is more than good enough for now. You can use that. We use it when we automate and we send offers from our CRM to sellers. We use this 1-page contract. So I'm going to send you over. Let me just log this in. All right. I'm going to send you over a simple 1-page purchase and sale contract and log this in as an action item. Your goal is I want you to speak to 10 minimum. This is the bare minimum. I'd like you to do more than the bare minimum. You know, you got to have that mindset. You don't want to just do the bare minimum. But at the very minimum, I want you to speak to 10 sellers a day. And I want you to send 5 offers a day. Don't feel overwhelmed. I know right now you're probably thinking, how the hell do I send an offer? What goes on the paperwork? You're asking, trust me, man, I already know what you're thinking. Don't worry about it. I'm going to walk you through that. It's very simple. Once you see this 1-page contract, you're going to read it and you're going to feel a lot better because it's so simple. Like, it's just, it's very obvious. And you might have a question or two, but don't feel overwhelmed right now. I got you.
So these are private sellers or actually people selling?
These are private sellers, correct.
Right.
These are contracts that you're going to send to private sellers, correct. This is not a contract you would send to an agent that has a property that's listed because it's a bank REO or, you know, this is not, agents typically, most of the time, are going to do business on their realtor state-approved purchase and sale contract. So that's why I think it would still be a good idea for you to get your hands on one, the realtor state-approved contract, because that's the contract that you're going to use when you send offers to agents. But when you're working with private sellers, let's simplify things. I don't want you to complicate it and send the seller a 5 to 10 page contract that they're not going to, for the most part, understand or want to read through. I'm going to send you a simple 1 page contract, very straightforward. It takes you 60 seconds to read it. And that's what I want you sending to private sellers.
Okay. And the best way to find the private sellers is what?
Hold on, let me just log this in. So I want to keep track of. So you're going to talk to 10, you're committing to talking to 10 sellers a day and sending 5 offers a day, right?
Yes, 5 offers per day, 10 sellers per day, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, speaking to 10 sellers per day and speaking to 10 sellers per day and sending 5 offers per day. So best way to – there's numerous ways that you can market for motivated sellers. What – our bread and butter, where I've always gotten a lot of deals, is from direct mail. Okay, it's you purchase a list of, you know, it can be an absentee owner or it can be an owner occupied that has a certain level of equity. So, like, for example, minimum 40% equity to 100% equity. So what does that mean? If a house is worth $100,000, they owe less than $60,000. So there's 40% equity or more.
Okay.
So this person can owe $60,000 on that property or less, which means that there's equity. There's at least 40% equity in the property for you to be able to purchase it at the price that you'd need if it was going to be a straight wholesale deal. Okay?
So I need to go with the list of sellers.
Well, there's if we're going to have you go in the route of doing direct mail, yes. Now, one of the things before we decide on that, to answer your initial question, and then we'll circle back to this, how do you get motivated sellers? There's 100 different ways to attract motivated sellers. There's direct mail. There's online, you know, and online can be search engine optimization. It could be pay-per-click. Those are advanced strategies that we're not going to have you focus on right now. It could be just, you know, simple hustle. It could be door knocking. It could be putting out door hangers or post-it notes on houses in a certain neighborhood where you're looking for deals. It could be having bird dogs bring you leads. Okay, you train bird dogs on what you're looking for, and they bring you leads. It could be bandit signs. You know, we buy houses that you put them out, and people call. There's a whole bunch of ways to attract motivated sellers. What I want you to do is I don't want you to get overwhelmed with all that. We need to pick one or two ways to start bringing in leads. One of the things that I've already mentioned is I want to get a better feel for where you're at now with your budget. I know you mentioned last week that you have $500 a month to put towards this business. One of the ways that I talk to you about generating leads is to see if you can find somebody that has money, but they don't have time, and you joint venture with them so that they pay for the marketing and you work the leads. Have you been able to make any progress on that front?
No.
Okay. Have you tried, or you haven't tried yet?
I think you suggested that I do that at one of the meetups.
Correct.
So I joined
yeah.
the meetup, but I haven't been, I haven't been to one yet.
Okay.
So,
when is
if I
next,
found someone that had money that wasn't into real estate, could I also do that too?
Absolutely. Usually people that are going to partner with you on something like this are interested in real estate. They want to do deals, but they don't have the time. They do have the money, though. So you already joined your meetup group. Do you know when the next meeting is?
I think it was like October. One of them didn't have a meetup yet, because there's so many different ones, and I don't recall the next meeting. But I am going. I don't recall.
Okay. I'd like you to get to one as quickly as possible.
Okay.
I'd like you to get to one as quickly as possible. So Find out, check, go to meetup.com and see if there's any meetup groups that are happening like within the next week. Any real estate related meetup groups, particularly for investors, because sometimes there's agent meetup groups. And by the way, those are good too, because you can build relationships with agents that have deals and or have cash buyers.
Okay.
Okay. So see if you can get to a meetup group sooner rather than later. What about the local real estate investors association? I know that's one of the things that you were looking into.
Yeah, it's the MD, local real estate. They're $150 a year.
Okay.
So I just joined them Thursday. So, should I go to their meeting also and then the meetup too?
100%, man. Remember, I want you to be, don't wait for things to happen. If you're not sure, action's better than inaction. So if you join on Thursday, get to it as quickly as possible. Okay, so I want you to put that down as an action item for you is get over to an REI, Real Estate Investors Meetup Group, and attend your next RIA, Real Estate Investors Association.
Okay.
Okay? So I want you to do that. And the focus there needs to be on, forget so much, not forget, but I don't want you to focus on, like, the content, right, the education. Like, yeah, you're going to learn some things, but that's not really the main focus. The main focus that I want is building relationships. I want you to have an eye out for cash buyers. So set a goal for yourself. I want to walk out of here with 5 new cash buyers. And I want to set a goal that I want to connect with. I want to have 5 meaningful conversations with wholesalers that are open to co-wholesaling. In other words, doing joint ventures. And the last thing is, I want you to tell people what you do and see if you can find somebody that you can potentially partner with on the marketing that has money but does not have time. That's where you come into play. They pay for the marketing and they start driving leads so that you can work them. And then any deals that close from that, you guys can split it 50-50 or whatever you agree on.
So why would someone that already has money need me? Oh, you said they don't have the time. Okay.
They don't have time.
Okay.
There's people that have money, but they're working a 9-to-5, 8-to-7. They don't have the time, or they don't want to take action, but money is not the challenge for them.
Okay.
Did you
just ask them? Hey, you know, I guess that just comes through conversation.
Yeah, I don't want you going to the RIAs and approaching people right off the bat and saying, hey, do you have money? Do you want to partner? Like, no. You know, like, obviously you want to focus on them first, build a relationship, you know, just be friendly, tell people what you're doing. People are going to see your passion. They're going to see your excitement about the business, you know, so you need to make sure that you convey that when you communicate with people. And you might not find somebody right off the bat, but it's kind of like that saying, it's very cliche, but seek and ye shall find. It's going to open, things are going to, when you start to, like, put yourself out there and kind of telling the world and the universe what you're doing, and you're very clear on your goals and you have focus, things are going to start to open up for you and you're going to find somebody. It may take you going to 2-3 meetings. Maybe not. Maybe it takes you your first meeting and you find somebody that says, hey man, I got $500. I got $1,000. I'm willing to put towards the marketing if you work all the leads and work all the deals. Let them know you have a coach and a mentor on your side, that you've invested money into a coach and a mentor, and you have somebody that's kind of walking you through the process. Like, be honest with people. Let them know if they ask. And you're just getting started, but you got to speak with confidence.
Okay. So what would be an ideal marketing amount for me, just getting started? What would be an ideal per month marketing amount?
Man, Jason, there's not an ideal amount. As much as you can spend on marketing without it affecting your, you know, putting food on the table, taking care of your expenses. Marketing is one of those things that whenever you do your first deal, I'm going to challenge you that I want you to take at least 15% of that money that you make on your first deal and put it back into marketing, because we need to build up the snowball effect as quickly as possible. Every time you do a deal, you need to make sure that marketing is one of the first things you fund, not one of the last things you fund.
Okay.
Because understand that the way that you do more deals is by generating more leads, building more relationships, sending more offers, following up, you know, aggressively following up. And it's just rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And so you always want to make sure, we never want to get to a point where you're not marketing and leads have stopped coming in, because that's when your business starts to kind of decline and eventually starts to die. You need to constantly have that marketing machine generating and pumping leads, new motivated seller leads, new cash buyer leads every single day. We want to have leads coming in, leads coming in, leads coming in. It's a numbers game.
Okay. So if someone asks me, hey, how much you need?
I'm sorry?
So what if someone asks, hey, how much you need to get, you know, to get your marketing campaign going and to keep it going, at least so you get your first deal?
Explain to them what I just explained to you, that it's a numbers game, and the more leads we have, the more opportunities we have to close deals. So as much as they can devote to, or commit, I should say, to marketing, the better. The more opportunities we have, and honestly, like, if you have somebody and that you sense that they're not comfortable with the arrangement, man, have them start off small. You know, if they're willing to commit $300, $400, $500 a month to it, or even 200, whatever they can commit, I just need you to start generating leads. And that's going to be one avenue that you take to start generating leads without you having the capital. And right now I know you have $500 a month, but we're going to combine your $500 a month with the hustle of either you or a virtual assistant actively looking for leads. One of the things I'd like you to do, man, is I want you to go out there and get out in the neighborhoods. You know, I know you sent me over, and that's one of the things I want to talk to you about, and I want to get to that here in the next 15 to 20 minutes before we, like, wrap up the call, is let's identify your 10 to 15 to 20 hot zip codes, and that's going to be your farm area. You know, I know you sent me over all those, you went through that exercise, and you sent me over like 6 or 7 Excel files with all the different cash buyer investor activity. Now we need to narrow that down to 10, 15, 20 max zip codes. Ideally, probably just 10. We're going to have you focus on 10, maybe 15 zip codes. Get out in those neighborhoods and whatever it takes, man, it's talking to the neighbors, talking to the postal workers that are in the area that are out there putting. Look for boarded up vacant properties. Use an app called HomeSnap. So if you go into your app store and you go to HomeSnap, sign up for a free account. This is an app where you take a picture of the property and automatically gives you the address and it gives you specifics on the property. And then we're going to reverse look up. It's called skip tracing. We're going to look for those people's contact information and we're going to have you contact them. So that's one of the ways that you can start generating leads for free. Just know that the more conversations you have, the more activity you take, things are going to start to happen for you. But I want you to kind of get out of the mindset of being reactive. I need you to be proactive. Don't wait for things to come to you and happen, because it's not going to fall in your lap. You got to go out there and get it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So let me keep going here. All right, so we talked about, you joined the Re and the Meetup group. I want you to get your ass to one as quickly as possible.
Okay.
You already know the focus for that. It's not so much you can stay in and you know, absorb information and education. If they're talking about something unrelated to wholesale, you know, be careful. I don't want you getting sucked into like the next shiny object. We need to have clear focus on one thing. And right now that's wholesaling. Right now that's building your buyer's list, talking to sellers, sending offers, following up, building relationships. That's the focus right now. Okay? And then also you're going to be, you know, when you get to the RIA, we talked about networking with wholesalers. And by the way, when you network with wholesalers, those people are going to be put in a separate list. In FreedomSoft, you can create categories for your list. So you can have one list for your buyers. You can have one list for your wholesalers. You can have one list for your buy and hold investors, one list for your fix and flip investors. Don't get overwhelmed, but just I'd like you to segment your list between buyers and wholesalers. Buyers, wholesalers, and agents, I should say. So those are the three lists you're going to have. Obviously, in addition to sellers. So really, it's four lists. Cash buyers, motivated sellers, wholesalers, and agents. you want to make sure that you're not like commingling, so to speak. You don't want your motivated sellers in the same list as your cash buyers. Because when you get a deal or when you market somebody else's deal that you have permission to market, you don't want that going to your motivated sellers list.
So you say cash buyers, agents, wholesalers, and motivated sellers?
Bingo. Those are the four lists that you constantly need to be working on. You're going to be marketing for motivated sellers. You're going to be marketing and networking for cash buyers. Same thing with wholesalers. And the same thing with real estate agents. You know what's one easy way to start networking with wholesalers? Go to Google, put in We Buy Houses Cash, your county. We Buy Houses Cash, your city. We Buy Houses Cash, your zip code. Need to sell my house fast, your county, your city, your zip code. All these different keywords, the people that you see on the first page of Google, whether it's a pay-per-click paid advertising or whether it's an organic, those are the people, those people are actively marketing for motivated sellers. Contact those people. Those people are either one of two things. They could be both. They're either a cash buyer that you can put on your list, or they're also a cash buyer, but they also wholesale properties, and you can potentially co-wholesale and joint venture with them. So you want to know what's an easy way. You talked about, my RIA's. Let's say the next RIA is not until 2 weeks from now. I don't want you waiting 2 weeks to start networking with wholesalers. Jump on Google. Type in different keywords, pick up the phone and start calling these people. Let them know what you do and ask them if you can put them on your list. Find out, are you a cash buyer? Do you wholesale properties? Figure out, put them on the right list and start building a relationship with these people.
Okay. Yep.
So we talked about, let me just kind of recap the action items so far, because I don't want to put too much on your plate, but remember, right now we're focused on the things that are going to move the needle for you and get you off the ground here. So let me just kind of recap the action items that I have written down here. Let me know if I'm missing something. I want you to log in, or if you can find somebody to do this for you and do the data entry part of it, even better. If not, just log in all the buyers you have into FreedomStop. And going forward, I want you to, if you want to write them down, that's fine, but just make sure that you set aside some time every day to transfer them into your CRM. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so logging in the 42 buyers into FreedomSoft, I'm going to send you over the one-page purchase and sale contract. That's what you're going to use. You're going to speak to 10 sellers per day, and you're going to send 5 offers per day. So you're going to read over the one-page contract. It should be pretty self-explanatory. If you have any questions, shoot me an email. I'll get back to you right away. The next action item is you're going to attend the next meetup group and RIA, Real Estate Investors Association, the next meeting. And when you go to that meeting, set yourself a goal. At bare minimum, I want you to add 5 new cash buyers, add 5 new wholesalers, and start having meaningful conversations with people about potentially partnering with you so that they could pay for the marketing and you work the leads. I'm jotting this down.
Buyers, 5 wholesalers.
By the way, man, like I said, that's the bare minimum. I want you to think bigger than that, but I don't want to overwhelm you at the same time. So,
okay.
So a potential marketing partner is the last thing. And then don't be, there's one thing I want you to take away from our call is not to be reactive, be proactive. So jump on Google, okay? This is your fifth action item. Jump on Google. Type in We Buy Houses Cash, your city or your county or your zip code. We buy need to sell my house fast, your city, your county, your zip code. All those different keywords, type those in and start picking up the phone and calling all those people that you see on the first page of Google. Let them know what you do and start adding them to your list, whichever list they fall into. Okay? If they're a cash buyer and they're a wholesaler, put them on both lists.
Okay. I was just about to ask you about that.
Okay.
So would I consider myself a cash buyer and a wholesaler?
I'm sorry, come again?
So would I consider myself a cash buyer and wholesaler?
Absolutely. 100%.
It seems like a lot of cash buyers are wholesalers.
Yeah, they are, man. They are. Now, there's some people that will say they're a cash buyer, but they're really only a wholesaler. And that's fine, man. If they tell you they're a cash buyer, like, you know, we'll talk about, I don't want you to get lost in kind of the structure of the deal, because like we talked about on the first call, just-in-time learning, you're not there yet. We'll talk about the structure and how to deal with the wholesalers on these cold wholesale deals. But yeah, oftentimes cash buyers are wholesalers, but most wholesalers will say they're cash buyers, even though their only intention is to wholesale it. But that's fine. For now, don't worry about it. Just go through the script that I sent you last week. I sent you over to, there's two different scripts. There's one for cash buyers and there's one for wholesalers. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yes. Yeah, the wholesaler okay. is on the back. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right, so we got that. Really quick here before we wrap it up, the call is, did you decide with regards to FreedomSoft as your CRM, if you go into FreedomSoft, it's a matter of you got to play with these systems to get comfortable with them. If you click on the Classroom tab, there's a bunch of training in there that walks you through how to set up and use the system. Have you gone through any of that training?
Yeah, I've gone through some of that, and I did the if this, and that.
Yep, that's how you start generating leads. I think that's like their lead swiper, it's called.
Yeah, and I generated like 17 leads off of that.
Have you started calling those leads?
No, I was trying to think. So I need to call those leads. I need to put those leads into the list also and call them.
Well, when they come into FreedomSoft, they're already in your system. It's just a matter of making sure that they're put into the right list.
Right list.
So if you go into the classroom, like I, on the technical side of things, you're setting up FreedomSoft and all that. I'm not going to be much help there. I think, you know, FreedomSoft is not my product or anything. It's just I recommend it because it's a good CRM. But if you go on the classroom section, they have a lot of training videos. And if you need help, they have a very good support team. So reach out to their... reach out to their help desk and their support center. There's a phone number on there, and they also have a support center where you can open up a ticket. So if you get stuck, man, don't let some of these little things hold you back. You know, just think, okay, what do I need to do to get past this point? And then, you know, a lot of this stuff you have me, but a lot of this stuff, it's kind of, you know, just think, okay, what's the next step? What can I do here to move forward? Don't let some of these little things hold you up, because once you start to build momentum, the last thing you want to have happen is you get stuck by something very small. So all these leads that are coming in from your lead swiper, just call them. I don't care if you have no idea what you're doing. You're going to accomplish more by taking the action of calling them and kind of stumbling and fumbling your way through it, as opposed to saying, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm just not going to call them. Okay. You have the script. You have the CRM. You got me. You got all the tools you need. Now it's just a matter of, again, being proactive versus reactive.
Okay. All right.
So let's do this, man. Before we hop off here, two things I want to cover really quick here is the first is the zip codes. So you sent me over, let me see here. You sent me over 7 different Excel files, all these different counties, Balt, Culver, Charles, Howard, Moe County, PG County. Are all these like relatively close to where you live, or are these like far away from you?
No, they're right in my area. They surround the Washington D.C. area. So okay. I live in Charles County. I work in PG County. Howard County is a little north. So it seems like I'm always on the road. So those counties are right no more than 45 minutes away.
Okay, so you live in Charles County, you said, right?
Yeah, I'm living in Charles County, and I work in PG County. I'm a lot more familiar with PG County because that's where I grew up.
Uh-huh. Okay, so let's start with PG County.
Okay.
So I'm looking at PG County. You saw how in that video I highlight the top the top zip codes that make up like the top 50%?
Yes.
Okay, so basically I'm looking at your PG County. So from lines 5 through 12, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 8 zip codes there that there seems to be a lot of cash buyer investor activity. And this is in the last 3 months that you did this, last 6 months? What was the criteria you did?
It was 3.
Okay.
No, perfect. No, it's 6. Whatever you said, it was 6.
Okay, that's fine. So look, right here in PG County, you have 8 zip codes. I need you to focus on those 8 zip codes. All right, so if you highlight, just like highlight them in yellow. So from lines 5 through 12, you're going to focus on those 8 zip codes. And then let's hop over to Charles County. Charles County, it's your top 3. You see there's 592 transactions in the first one, 581, 549, and then from there it drops to 282. I want you to focus on those 3 top zip codes. Okay, so right now you have 11 zip codes. This is one of the things I mentioned on the Flip Empire show is, I'm not sure if you've been listening to it, but it's,
I've been listening to that too. I'm listening to you. I'm really enjoying, I'm really learning a lot on the Flip Empire show.
Okay, awesome, man. Well, one of the Q&As was about, marketing and, you know, going an inch wide and a mile deep. So since you're on a limited budget, I don't want you to focus on all these different counties. I want you to focus on 10, maybe 15 zip codes, and let's dominate. I want you to be a big fish in a small pond.
Okay.
So I want you to focus on, so far we've identified 11, right? There's 8 in PG and 3 in Charles. Give me one more county where that's a good county. It's by you. It's close to you as possible. That there's, you know, bread and butter houses. I'm talking, you know, houses under 200, 250 grand.
That may be a hot area. It's probably Baltimore County.
Okay.
I found a lot of the buyers were in that area too. Baltimore County.
Okay. Well, look, take a look at Baltimore. Wow, Baltimore, there's a lot of activity here. So I'm looking at basically lines 2 through 8. So there's 7 zip codes there. There's 7 zip codes there. In addition to your 11 from before, so that's 18 zip codes. That's what I want you to focus on right now. I want you to focus on the 8 counties from the 8 zip codes in PG, the 3 in Charles, and the 7 in Baltimore. Okay, so that's 18 total zip codes. That's more than enough. Get a map of your area, and I want you to put a box around those zip codes. You should be able to get a zip code map. I think if you reach out to the Realtors Association, oftentimes they sell. It might be like 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks. They'll sell you a zip code map, okay, of that D.C., Maryland area. And I want you to look, I want you to highlight and put a box around those 18 zip codes. That's where all of our work is going to be. That's where we're going to be doing all of our marketing for buyers and all of our marketing for sellers.
Okay.
Okay, so that's your last action item is buy a zip code map and highlight those 18 zip codes.
Okay.
Those are your 18 hot zip codes.
Yeah, I sent you all of all right. those because it seems like the numbers were kind of low compared to what I think when you were in Florida doing it on your computer, the numbers seemed very high. That's why.
Completely different area, so don't worry about that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
And then what I'll do is definitely the next time we talk, I want you to start thinking about if you still only have $500 a month you could put towards marketing, a certain portion of that is going to be towards FreedomSoft. My recommendation would be to keep it because, again, that's You don't need it. It's a tool, but it's going to be helpful for you. The remaining, I'd like to see you, you know, we need to either put that in one of two different places, into marketing or into a virtual assistant that can do marketing for you. But a virtual assistant is going to help you get back some of your time. Okay? So there's several different ways. I mean, that's a whole separate call. There's different ways we can get a virtual assistant. You can go to a site like it used to be Odesk. I'm drawing a blank on what it's called now. Let me see here. Odesk is now called, why am I forgetting what this is called? Upwork. There it is. Okay, so there's a site like Upwork where you can post an ad, and you can even put the budget that you're willing to pay. I recommend you find a virtual assistant in the Philippines. You know, you can pay $3 an hour. And, you know, man, that person working 15, 20 hours a week for you, you know, do the math. 20 hours a week at $3 an hour for $60 a week or $240 a month, that person's going to do wonders for you. Or you can go to, there's a company that has already pre-screened and trained virtual assistants for real estate investors. If you go to flipempire.com/staff, STAFF, there's a company out there that I recommend, that they're very good because they've already found and trained and pre-screened virtual assistants for real estate investors. And they'll set you up with three. You interview them. You pick the one you want. If you don't like any of them, you can tell them, and they'll set you up with another three that you can interview. And a lot of these people, you can even tell them, I need a virtual assistant that is fluent in English, communicates well, understands FreedomSoft and has used FreedomSoft, for example, or Podio or whatever. They're comfortable on the phone. They have a customer service background, or they have a sales background. You can specifically tell them what qualities you're looking for in a virtual assistant, and they'll line you up with three that then you can then interview and pick one.
Okay.
So start thinking about that. I'm not going to add that as an action item now, because I want to see if there's a way you can stretch your budget by maybe putting in a few extra hours at the barbershop. If there's a way you can stretch the budget, then that's going to be helpful. If not, and you tell me, hey, Alex, I only have $500 a month. The biggest things are lead generation through hustle and through finding somebody that you can partner with for the marketing expenses. You have part of that money committed to your CRM. And then the other part of that money we can put towards a virtual assistant that can do a lot of lead gen / sending offers on your behalf, especially when you're working.
Okay.
All right. Awesome, man. So are you clear on your end? You got your marching orders and?
Yes, I got them down and I'm about to get to work now.
Fantastic, man. Love it. Well, if you have any questions, man, shoot me an email. Otherwise we'll talk, next week, same time. And yeah, man, that's pretty much it.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
Hey, not a problem, man. I'm here for you. I want to see you progress, man. So if you get stuck, let me know, you know, shoot me an email, but, you know, read through the script, read through the contract I'm going to send you at some point today. And I'm also going to send you, I haven't forgotten, I'm going to send you the scorecard, so that you can keep track of how many sellers you're talking to, how many buyers you're adding, how many offers you're sending. That's what's going to keep you on track here.
Okay.
Okay.
And if when I send the offers to the seller, I send it directly to them with the information that you're giving me.
Yeah,
you're
going to fill out the offer. For right now, by hand. Eventually, we'll get you to the point where it's an automated fashion. But for right now, it's by hand. Honestly, it's only three or four fields you have to fill out. And you're going to email or you're going to fax it to them. If they don't have email or fax, then you have to drop them in the mail, drop it in the mail.
Okay. And
remember, we got to simplify. So try not to overcomplicate things.
Okay. And make sure that they, they have 40% equity in their property before I send them an offer.
No. That's for on the direct mail side when you start building a list. Remember what I talked about when you talk to these people? For right now, don't worry about so much their asking price and what it's worth. Once you talk to them, you're going to run comps by going to Zillow. You can go to ePraisal. There's iComps.com. You're going to use some of these free services just to get an idea of what it's worth, and then you're going to base your offer based on their after-repair value. But I just want you speaking to sellers, getting comfortable, and sending offers. I'll send you over a formula you can use as a guideline to send offers. You know, typically you're going to look at the three lowest comps. You're going to take the average, and then you're going to send your offer based on a certain percentage of that, minus repairs, minus your fee. But I'll send you that in an email. I don't want you to get like stuck on that. The key is I want you to get comfortable speaking to sellers and sending offers.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your patience.
Awesome,
I mean, I've been barbering for 20 years, and all, you know, the computer, and I'm just trying to get real comfortable. Well, get more comfortable with working with the computer, working technical.
Yeah,
I should say. So,
yeah.
All right. Thank you.
No worries, man. Okay.
All right. So I hope you found that coaching call with Jason helpful. I want to challenge you to take at least a few things that you heard on that call and implement it in your business, because I know that if you follow some of the things that I was coaching him through and you take action and you put it to work, you're going to see some results in your business. And if you feel like having a call like this is really going to impact your business, and if you think that having me in your corner walk you through the process, regardless if you're just getting started, you've never done a deal, or you're doing several deals a month, but you kind of want to build a team, you want to scale, you want a business that serves you and not the other way around, you want a business that produces revenue with or without you, then I want to invite you, go to flipempire.com/coaching. And just go ahead and schedule a time there, fill out some basic information, and I only have time for a couple of calls a week. And this is going to give me a better idea of you, what your goals are, what your business looks like, what are some of the things that you want to accomplish. And if I feel I can help you, then I'm going to go ahead and reach out to you, and we're going to keep that appointment. If for whatever reason I don't feel I can be, you know, of help to you and get you to where you want to go, then I will, I'll respond to you either way, and I'll thank you for reaching out, and I'll just let you know it might not be the best fit. So again, I only have time to have a couple of these calls a week. So, go ahead, go to flipempire.com/coaching, and I look forward to potentially connecting with you and seeing how I can help you accomplish the things that you're looking to accomplish through your real estate business. So look forward to catching you in the next show. Again, I know that this was a lot longer than what they normally are, but I thought long and hard about this, and I got permission from Jason to share this with you guys, because even if we don't end up speaking, I think it can help you. You know, regardless of what stage in your business you're at. So, awesome. I look forward to catching you on episode 51 coming up here soon. And, we'll talk soon. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text Empire to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.